You may be seated. Get your Bibles. Please turn to John chapter 10. We're talking about Jesus coming in and bringing salvation and changing lives. How many of you have received Jesus as your Lord? Let me see your hands. Okay. And the result of that is that you're born spiritually. It says in John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Anybody with any, you know, any perception realizes we have physical bodies. You could reach up to the person in front of you and tap their shoulder and you could sense the physicality of our lives. But then a lot of believers don't make distinction with the inner part. There aren't just we're not just spirit and soul. The Bible says clearly that we are spirit, soul, and body. And there is a big distinction between spirit and soul and body. Now, we know there's a difference between the outer man and the inner man. The Bible says our outer man is perishing, but our inner man is being renewed day by day. I was talking to a guy, and he said, hey, I'm turning 50 in December. And he looked so young, I couldn't even believe it. And, he, you know, 50 is the new 30, so that's all cool. But when I look in the mirror, I start to see my grandpa coming out. And it's like it's changing, you know, it's gravity and stuff is doing its thing. But the Bible says our inner man, the hidden person of the heart, our spirit, is being renewed day by day. Now, when God created Adam and Eve, he created them spirit, soul, and body. And what happened was when they disobeyed the Lord, in their disobedience, they lost, there was a great forfeiture, and they died spiritually. There was spiritual death. They didn't see physical death until a long time later. But there was definitely a death. And Jesus came to bring eternal life. So when a person receives Jesus Christ, it addresses that part that was lost in the garden. Humanity has gone on, and you can see the cultures that have risen and built pyramids and all kinds of things all over the ages. But dead spiritually, separated from God. This is where all the world religions have spun out, all the mythology has spun out. This is where substance abuse has come. This is where all kinds of depravity has come in the pursuit of something that was lost. Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. So when a person encounters Christ and receives him, he becomes or she becomes a new creation on the inside. The old things pass away. All things become new. Now listen, when I heard these things as a young Christian, it was revolutionary to me because I did not understand. I just had a conviction in my heart that I was a sinner, and I had a sense in my spirit I was going to hell. If anybody was going to hell, I was going to hell. And I sensed my lostness. Well, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And the Holy Spirit was doing work on me as a teenager. I talked to a kid out here. He's 16 years old. That was the age I was when I got saved. And when I got saved, something in my life changed. I actually had a Hawaiian shirt on the night I got saved, and I had long hair, so I'm kind of, I let it grow again just for the purposes of this illustrated sermon. And I remember when I got home, I looked in the mirror, I still had my hair parted on the same side, which I still do. I still had the same 70s haircut, which I do. I mean, you know, some things did not change, but one thing did change. My position and my relationship to God. I was alienated, separated. I had no hope. I was without God in the world. But then I had an encounter with Jesus. I asked him to come into my life. He that never sinned became a sin substitute for me. And when I said, I receive you, Jesus, and I humbled myself and repented, I asked him to come into my heart. Miracle of miracles. That was my birthday, my spiritual new birth. I was born of the flesh in 1956. I was born of the spirit in 1972. And I've continued to draw from the wells of that eternal life and enjoy that. And then as I go to the Word of God, I see in John chapter 10, we go right in here and we see that Jesus is the door to the sheepfold, and he's come in to open up doors. He's come in to bring back restoration. And it says that the sheep will follow him because they know his voice in verse 4. Verse 10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, this is talking about false voices and the voices of false messiahs and false religion and false spirits. And he's saying they come to steal, kill, and destroy. Of course, Satan would be one of those. He said, and I came that they may have life. The good shepherd came that we might have life and have it abundantly. And this is really what God sent Jesus to restore back to humanity. God is a spirit. And the Bible says those who worship him in John chapter 4 must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. We are made spirit, soul, and body. God does not want us just to be believers that are body ruled with the sensual lusts and pleasures of the world and strictly just all about that. God doesn't want us to be so cerebral and soulish that we're constantly leaning on our own understanding. Solomon wrote that in Proverbs 3, that we're not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him. I have to tell you that we have the Master who has come into our lives, and He has tuned us up. Now, Chelsea brought her guitar up here, and she had this in another room. I listened to it, and I said, oh, that's so out of tune. She was trying to play it, and it was like, and I thought, okay, well, I'll tune it up. So I got my superior musical ear going, and I went. And then I went, and then it just didn't sound right. So then after about 20 minutes of me picking away at it, then Patsy's brother came in, and he said, man, do you guys ever tune this thing? And I had just spent all that time, and I was pretty proud about how I tuned it. And then like another 15 minutes later, Chelsea goes, oh, I have a tuner in my purse. Now, I'm using this as an illustration because basically our lives of my dog has fleas, my dog has fleas. I mean, we think it's all really cool and we just go, wait, I'll tune it all up. I'll fix it. I've got the ear for it. And we go, hing. And we spend all, you know, so much of our lives trying to tune it up. And then along comes Jesus, who the good shepherd, who comes with the real fine original pattern right on target. And He comes in and He brings redemption to us, and He brings us back into harmony with God. We were alienated and separated, out of tune. Then we try all these methods to try to tune ourselves up. But Jesus comes in on the scene and He takes away what caused our tuning to go out, and He brings us into forgiveness and righteousness. And then I have to say to you, in addition to that initial life change, God is calling us to walk in the Spirit. He said, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him. We're to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. It says over in Galatians chapter 5 that if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. So there is a walk in the Spirit that gets us in tune with God. And actually, Jesus, the tuner, comes to live inside men and women of God. Here's what's happened to us. We keep thinking it's something inaccessible and out there, but actually it's Christ in us. The real awesome message of Jesus is that He comes in and we do the rest of our lives. We spend the rest of our lives getting our minds renewed and submitting our body, a living sacrifice, to the presence of the tuner who has come in to bring tune. We don't try to tune up from the outside, try to say, hey, no, I'll do that. I'll fix that myself. No, the greater one, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Let me tell you that when you got saved, something changed. My hair was still parted in the same way. I still had blue eyes. It didn't turn brown. I mean, I wasn't levitating off the floor. The trees still looked like trees. You know, I still had things I had to work through, but I had an experience where my life got radically changed. This is why I preach Jesus, because, man, there's salvation in no other. He is absolutely flat out awesome, and I wish people knew who Jesus really was. We need to know who Jesus really is. I mean, I didn't know there was a tuner in her purse until she said, there's a tuner in my purse. And then it was amazing how I thought I had it tuned up. And I even said to her, I said, oh man, so much for my musical ear. But look at this. This thing has brought the plumb line. It's brought, and I brought the, I went do 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 do, brought one down, brought one up. And then I started to play Mozart concerto. No, I didn't. No, that's from practice. That will take practice. And that's really what God's called us to. He's called us to be doers and to practice and to carry this thing out. Other lives depend on it. It's as critical as anything you've seen on CNN. It's as critical as what's going on in Israel and Lebanon. It's as critical as what's going on in the fractured world we live in. We are called to be ambassadors and to be people that carry the presence of God and to walk in the Spirit. And what exactly does that look like? It's not churchified culture where we put a bunch of inflection in our voices and use cliche words. It's not that. It's not this cerebral intellectualism where we try to act elite and sophisticated. The scriptures teach that Jesus came to give us abundant life, and He said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. And this is really what I want to get over to you tonight. We know the Master's voice. I like that old logo from the RCA. Remember when they had those round black things with a hole in them? They were called records. Back before we had stereo, we had the grandparents had those big kind of cone things, and it connected to the little stylus. And there was a logo, and it was this Dalmatian dog or spotted dog with a black spot on his eye, and it was the big dog, and then there was a little dog, and it was listening to the sounds coming out of the phonograph, and the phrase underneath the logo, this is going to date some of you guys, unless you saw it on the Antiques Roadshow, and what does it say? His master's voice. See, John is prehistoric, dinosauric like me. And it says his master's voice. Everybody say his master's voice. I propose to you that Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. My proposal to you tonight is this. He will guide us with his eye upon us. There is a guidance system that is better than that tuner that Chelsea pulled out of her purse so that we could get the strings in line on a guitar. It is infinitely greater than anything available in humanity. People are trying to replicate something with psychic stuff and with horoscopes and with Ouija boards and all kinds of crazy approaches to this fundamental God-given place that he's called us to walk in. It's a life in the Spirit. It's walking in the Spirit, and everybody that receives Jesus enters into the same aptitude. We all have been given the authentic Holy Spirit leading and guiding us into all the truth. The Bible says that he will lead us into all the truth. He'll take from Jesus and he'll reveal to us. In fact, one scripture says this in Psalm 32:8. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you. The New American Standard says, I will counsel you with my eye upon you. We're parents and we watch our kids, man. You just ask all of our kids. We've been guiding them with our eye upon them. In fact, in church, we've even looked at our kids. Like, we get in a nonverbal thing where they can just look at us and ask us something, and we can just look at them, you know, just give them a look. We guide them with our eye upon them. God, he has created a guidance system when we're born again spiritually, where as we learn to sensitize ourselves and learn to listen, number one fundamentals, we have to understand we are spirit first. And we have souls, and we live in bodies. Yeah. It's amazing how few Christians believe this. I've even talked to Christians. I took a theology class at a college here in town, and they said, I don't believe in the three-part being. I believe that we're just inner man and outer man. But there is a difference between spirit, soul, and body. The Greek words are pneuma, spirit, psuche, soul, and body is soma. So they're distinct, and the spirit is that part of us that gets born again when we give our heart to Jesus is a supernatural change. Yeah. Our minds still need to be renewed. Our souls and have been subject to the programming of what we've experienced in the world, and they need to be renewed by the washing of the Word. That's why God's called us to be people that have rich Word intake, and we understand the Psalms and the Proverbs and the Epistles and the Gospels and so forth. And we get our minds renewed. We become, even tonight, under the preaching, you're hearing the Word. I've already probably given you 20 scriptures from the Word of God, which I know are alive, which bring change into our spirit. In fact, let's go to this. Hebrews chapter 5. This is an amazing verse. Hebrews chapter 5 says it this way. It talks about being a doer of the Word and growing and being different than we were before. God bless you. That was a special part of the service, that little yell there. Was that a whistle? I couldn't discern whether that was a whistle or a yell, because it was a yell. It was a good yell, man. Mothers have a perception. It's amazing. They'll be in a room and they'll be talking, and all of a sudden they'll hear a kid scream and they'll go, excuse me, that's my kid. And the other one will go, that's not my kid. It's amazing. And Patsy, I've been with Patsy where kids are screaming all over the place, and all of a sudden, she goes, excuse me. And she goes, how did you know that? Mothers have a perception. It's called mothering or motherhood. Yeah, write it down. When Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, you ought to be relaxed and encouraged about it. There are many voices in the world. There are voices clamoring for our attention. There are voices of doctrines of devils. There are voices of fear, there are voices of popular opinion, there are all kinds of voices clamoring to draw us. But what God has designed in us is, he said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is he comes alongside, and in Romans chapter 8 it says, his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. I know, I have a security that I'm saved. based on what the scripture says. I don't have this kind of, I hope I end up in heaven. I know on the basis of the sacrifice of Jesus, I'm saved. Where did I get that? The Holy Spirit is bearing witness in my spirit and giving me the assurance of salvation. John wrote in one of his epistles, I write these things to you that you might know that you have eternal life. And if you're insecure about that, well, just make a recommitment, surrender your life fully to Jesus and live for him, and then banish all the weird doubt and press in to trust God. He is faithful. Now, also, we can sharpen our perception. Just like I tune that guitar, we can tune in to the fine tunings of God and know his voice and hear his voice. I don't mean, good morning, get up. No, not the plaid dress. Put on the blue dress. No, I don't mean all that. I mean a sense, an inward witness where we are led by the Holy Spirit. We know we're spirit. We know God is a spirit. We know his word is spirit and it's life. We know the flesh profits nothing. We know that his word has life to it. We know that the Holy Spirit is working in us. We know we are spiritual beings, that before we were Christians, we were dead and lost. But when Jesus came into our... That's why it's so radical. When my brother got saved, I looked over at him and he's in church and he's praising God. He was separated from God and he was lost. And when he gave his heart to Jesus, he was forgiven and set free and he was made alive in Christ. He was a different person. He still had the same big, long, bushy hair. But he had a new heart. And it emanated. You could see it. The eyes, the lamp of the body. I mean, you could just look at him and he was... You know, the lights were on and somebody was home. You know, and he had changed. His words were different. His attitude's different. It's still different. He's just growing, and now it's on his kids, and it's generationally passing on, and it's awesome. All right, anyway. Who in here has given your heart to Jesus? Who in here has had some baggage from the past? Let me see your hands. We all do. How many of you would say that dysfunction it does exist in America and in the world, and maybe it's come around your life? All right, now we come into... this guitar was so whacked out. It was... And I tried to tune it, and I listened to it, and then my brother-in-law comes and, hey, give me that. He tries to do it, and then it was so bad. So then you get the tuner, and you just go, ding, 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 and it's just, oh, splendid. That's what happened when Jesus came into our lives. So now here we are, tuned up. Here we are, submitted to God. Here we've got new life in Christ, and we give our lives to him. We just sung about it. At your feet, Lord, we give our lives. It's no longer about us. It's about you. We surrender to you. You're the head of the church. We're part of the body of Christ. You've given us a purpose. Show us how to do our part in our life while we live here, God. And in the dailies of life, show us how to be sensitive to your spirit. Your word says you came to give abundant life. And part of that abundant life is that I be born again spiritually and that I know your voice. You guys, everything good that's ever happened in this church has come as a result of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. There are people in here that are making excellent quality decisions because of the leadership of the Holy Spirit and their spirit tuning into God, lining it up with the Word, following biblical patterns, and seeing amazing, major breakthrough results. Whether we had baggage of the past or not, or how much we debate on who has the worst baggage, that's not the issue. The issue is, man, we've had the washing of a clean slate. A new creation life has penetrated into our world. We're different on the inside. We've been given an incredible advantage. And now the Holy Spirit is there as a helper to lead us and to guide us away from stupidity and into wisdom, away from aimlessness and into our destiny, away from futile, just empty nothing life and into real impact. You are designed by God to bear fruit, to make an impact. You're anointed by God. And here's the answer. You line up with the Word of God and you line up with what the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding, it instantly will lead you into wiser and better decisions about who you spend time with, what you invest in, what you invest your finances or your time or even where your kids go. The times I violated the witness in my spirit, Not only I have paid a price, others have paid a price. So what I'm sharing with you is so vital, and it's so encouraging to know that we can grow in the area of being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And so if you say, well, somebody else is more sensitive to the Holy Spirit than me, well, listen, you can grow in respect to the walk of the Spirit. You can get in a place where you follow the witness in your spirit. I told the story about Chelsea and Taylor, they were going to a hayride. And We're driving along. It's fine for Chelsea. But as I was driving Taylor along, I just had a sense in my spirit. The closer I got to the house where I was going to drop him off, very conscientious parents. I mean, they watch him like a hawk. They're very faithful. And yet I had the sense in my spirit that it wasn't right. So I was looking in the rearview mirror at Taylor. Taylor was maybe 8 years old. And I was looking at him in the rearview mirror. And he was sitting there. And he was looking out the window. And he had this look. And we weren't talking about it. And I was thinking, God, I don't want to just spoil his party. But I'm just not feeling right about him going to this. So we kept driving. We got closer and closer to the person's house. And finally, Taylor says, I don't think I'm supposed to go on this hayride. And I went, you know what, son? That was the Lord, because I had that same sense in my spirit. He goes, I hate this stuff. Because, I mean, it's like party pooper time. You know, here he is. He's going to go to this hayride and have, you know, s'mores and hay and rides and, you know, and. But apparently, God knew it would be best for him not to be in that environment on that particular night. And so that sense came up in that little 8-year-old spirit, and it was in my heart, and I was trying to figure out how do I present this to him. But before I could get in there and be Mr. Dad, the Lord was already working on his little tender heart and drawing him and leading him. And that was a great life lesson. Did anything happen on the hayride? Nothing happened. What would have happened? I don't know. But I just know that that night it was something apparently God was prompting. And the same thing happens all through the years. Hey, Mom and Dad, can we go to this place? Can we go to this place? We always, instead of getting pitted, my mom said that it was okay with you, Dad. Dad, Mom said, because they, you know how they do that? It's like a psycho things kids automatically have. You kids with babies, as soon as they can talk, they'll go, Dad said I could just, it was okay with him if it's okay with you. This is one of the first things kids learn. You know, it's not manipulation. Well, yeah, it is. Anyway, so it's searching the heart. The hidden person of the heart. God has opted to speak to us by his word and by his spirit in our spirit. And that's different than just our thinking faculties or how we feel. There are a lot of cultures and tribes that base a lot on feeling. This is far different than that. It's deeper than that. It's this inward witness. And this is the primary way God wants to lead us. Now, we don't have time to study this, but in the scriptures, you could see occasions where God spoke to Joseph through an angel. God had Peter in a trance where he had this incredible vision. You could see occasions where Agabus, the prophet, prophesied to Paul about trouble he was going to have in Jerusalem. And there were these real sort of extravagant moments of communication to the people of God, but they actually were very rare, and in the percentage of people's lives, it only happened on an occasion. Moses only had one burning bush. He didn't run around and go, excuse me a minute, I got to counsel with my burning bush. You know, he didn't have this burning bush everywhere. Like, he pulled it out and went, oh, burning bush. I took my shoes off already. What do I do next? Now, Paul had a dream one night about the man from Macedonia, you know, and we have some people here from that region, Illyricum, which is now Kosovo. You know, God did lead us to that place. It wasn't like a dream, go to Kosovo. We just found out that there was a need there, and the Lord began to deal with us. We had Patsy Caminetti was praying for us. She was praying about that. She got something in her heart. There was counseling there. There was, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety, but it was a confirmation rather than a revelation. She didn't call and say, you're supposed to go to Kosovo, the Lord told me. We already had something in our spirit. We had something in our spirit from about 15 years or 20 years before that. God was working it all out after the counsel of his will. You know, God orders our steps. Yes. Can I share some things with you? Hebrews chapter 5, it says this about maturity and about growth. How many of you want to mature and grow? Yeah. When you're immature, you drink milk. When you're a baby, you just, and you want your bottle or your tippy cup or your sippy cup, whatever the case may be. When you get a little older, you eat solid food. It's for the mature. And verse 14, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Now that word senses doesn't mean 5 physical senses. Your spiritual faculties get trained. My 8-year-old son had a perception that he was not supposed to do that. I want my kids, I want our church, I want the people in our church to be led by the Spirit. Yes. If we're led by the Spirit, it's going to put us at high advantage. Yes. It's going to, the Holy Spirit is a helper, and he leads us into all the truth. And I'm telling you, we can sharpen. In fact, this verse implies it. that by practice, by following the promptings of the Holy Spirit, we're going to learn and grow with what God's given us in this new birth. When I was a new Christian, I was very naive, very young, but as I began to learn, as people have begun, a good teaching came to me, as I began to practice and take action on it, I've watched the difference between following the promptings of the Spirit and just doing things in my flesh. I've made decisions when I was exhausted and I didn't pray. I've made decisions when I was seeking God and fasting and crying out to the Lord and endeavoring to hear His voice, and I've watched the difference. I think things rise and fall based on whether we're going to follow the leading of the Spirit or whether we're going to just follow the whims or the pressures or the loudest voice. I mean, I've had people talk me into things that I just felt constrained about and didn't feel right about, and I did it anyway, and it just went flat. Sometimes it's just flat. Sometimes it produces ill consequence. One time I got invited to speak in another country, and I just got talked into it, and I was tired, and the Berlin Wall came down, and communism was dissipating, and the doors were opening, and I rationalized, this person was really working on me. Hey, just do it. It's great. It's God. It's just do it. And I just kind of had this moment where I missed it. And Taylor and I got on the airplane, and we flew up to Chicago, and our plane was late because of wind. We had terrible wind shear. Down here, it was really windy. When we got up to Chicago, we landed and we had to run all the way across O'Hare Airport to the other side, to the international side. When we got there, we saw the plane. We saw the gate pull out and the plane backing up. And we begged the lady. We said, and they went, "Nope, sorry, we can't do it." So we had to go and talk to the gate people. We got another flight. We had to go to a different airline. We had to fly to Minneapolis. We got on a plane. We got to Minneapolis. When we got there, we landed, the wind was blowing like crazy. We were even later, we were going to catch another flight to Amsterdam, which would connect to this other place. We got in this plane, and I looked out the window, and the first and only time in my life, I watched people doing the de-icing. And they had people up on ladders spraying, and everything was, there were icicles everywhere. It was just like all ice. It was just like a gigantic icecapade. And Taylor was in there, and he was sitting in the middle seat in front of me, and I was sitting in the middle seat behind him, all the way in the back of the plane, crammed in the corner by the jet engine real loud, sitting next to a guy that was an atheist that wanted to argue with me. We got in the plane, and he's talking to me and arguing with me that there's no God, you know, and he's telling me that he's reading this Bible in his hotel in San Francisco, and what's this thing about Abram being Abraham? And I said, well, Abraham means father of many nations, and he was called to be a father of many nations. He went, all right, I see. So then we're having this, and it's like, and Taylor goes, Dad, I don't want to be here. He didn't mean in the middle seat between the people. He meant he had that same thing going off in him that he had when he was 8. And so did Patsy, and so did people who pray for me. We got in the plane, they sprayed it off. We took off, a wind shear hit the plane. It was so dramatic that most of the top container things popped open. Stuff fell out, landed on people, hurt people. People were going, ah, screaming real loud. Everybody all through the plane screaming all at once. Men, women, children screaming. Flight attendants, everybody, ah! And the atheist went, God! Which was the only good part of the trip. Because boy, did I use that later. After I made sure Taylor was all right and everything is pushed back up and everything. And that trip went from bad to worse. It was weird the whole time. I was out of God's will. God covered it, but it wasn't God's best. You guys know what I'm talking about? Of course, the side thing about the atheist was, I said, now you earlier said you were an atheist, right? Oh, yes, I am an atheist. Well, but when we had trouble, you called on God. He goes, I know. I have no explanation for that. I said, well, I do have an explanation for that. So, I mean, you know, Taylor turned around looking at me, listening to me preach to the guy. So 10 people within the radius of this guy. It's like, all right, I got even for like, you know, the whole time we flew to New York or wherever we were going. But I should have listened to the Holy Spirit. I should have listened to the witness. The pressure of a believer overrode the sense I had in my spirit. It was just not that great. Let's go to Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And here's what I want you to see in verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, what I see in this verse is there's a transformation by the renewing of our mind. His word is spirit and it's life. Our spirit can gain a dominance in our lives and we could walk in the spirit. That doesn't mean we just cut off our minds and don't yield to our... My physical senses are very important when I'm driving the car. Like, I don't just go, I'm led by the spirit, step on the gas, you know. And I put my hands on 10 and 2 and I mean, I got my mirror adjusted, seatbelt on. You know, I'm doing the whole thing, man. I'm looking, I'm listening, putting down my cell phone. I see people driving with a cell phone, I back off. Because they're like, they're on drugs. And I watch and I listen. I look in the rearview mirror. And did you ever notice whenever you hear a siren, at first you never know where it's coming from? You look all around. I use my senses when I'm driving. I do. But I want to drive in the spirit. In other words, I want to pray as we go. I want to be led by God. I remember one time I pulled up to a light and some Aunt Minnie was driving like 10 miles an hour and we stopped and we were in a hurry and I was like, and I recognized that had we been in the traffic flow, we would have been hit. So I had one of these rare moments where I saw that my little sissy whining was really stupid because God, in fact, used Aunt Minnie with her blue hair and everything and the hearing aid battery out and everything to keep us from a deal. So here's the deal. God is a God that reveals mysteries. He is faithful to bring revelation to us. Daniel interpreted dreams and enigmas and difficult problems, and he was exceptional. But in Christ, we all have access to the Holy Spirit that Daniel had in amazing, unique measure. We've all got this poured out into the church. And we could know his voice and be sensitive to his voice and not override it. I mean, God will show you and lead you. I mean, people that get ready to buy a house. Well, I'm going to buy this house with all this acreage and it's so cool. And this guy's showing it since he's really trustworthy. And then we find out 90% of it is floodplain. And the guy's not telling you the straight. And you find out, whoa, I'm glad I prayed. Because my natural thinking and my excitement and the representation of it was skewed. But when I sought the Lord, whoa. Yeah. He's faithful to lead us and guide us into all the truth. Definitely. And every one of us, we could wince with the pain of a recognition that, man, there were times I didn't follow the prompting of the Spirit and I paid for it. How many of you say, honestly, you know, there's been a time or two where I missed it. Okay, but see, good news. Don't freak out. We do know His voice. The Holy Spirit is helping us, even tonight. There is as we're looking in these scriptures, an awareness is heightening, an understanding that He is a spirit and that we have a human spirit that connects with the Holy Spirit. His spirit bears witness with our spirit and He leads us by His spirit. We can walk in the spirit. We won't fulfill the desires of the flesh and we'll move into a new dimension. I was invited to a place to go to a pastor's meeting. I immediately said, no, I know I'm not supposed to go there. The same kind of pressure was coming on. Oh, come on, why not? It's going to be great and we're going to do that. I've heard this before. I said, no. A little while later, that's where the terrorists attacked and killed a bunch of the Australians down in, where was that? Bali. It was Bali. Yeah, I was going to go to this Bali, and I was getting worked over to go to Bali. But I knew. I've overridden this before. I know not to go to Bali. So I said, I'm not going to Bali. Well, later on, Bali got blown up. So, I mean, God... He'll order our steps and he'll deliver us from trouble. You say, well, I know really good Christians and they got into situations. I do too. That's why I'm teaching, so that we can learn to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. No regret. I'm not trying to create a climate of regret here because we're moving forward. I just want to make sure that we understand we are spirits. We have souls. We live in bodies. We're not to be body ruled. We're not to be sense-ruled, and we're not to be just cerebral and just leaning on what we think. Nor are we to be just turning off our minds. God wants us to worship Him with all full on, present our body, use our body, but ultimately, His Spirit leads us. His Word is Spirit. It's a lamp to our feet. It lines up. God is faithful to bring a witness to our spirit. And like I'm sensing a witness to stop right now, I want to pray for you. I want to pray God will really minister to you. Feelings are the voice of the body. Reason is the voice of the soul. Conscience is the voice of the spirit. There's that inward witness a sense in your spirit. It's good. It's good to have that awareness that we could discern and we could pray. You kids, how many of you are going to college? Raise your hands if you're going to college. You need to pray over what classes you pick. And that doesn't mean you need to lock up and be all spooky. It just means God knows the best environment for you to be in, for your learning and for your particular situation. How many of you manage a restaurant or you own your own business or you're something like that? All right, you need to pray about the people you work with. You need to pray about the people you step into business with. Sure. How many of you are single, you want to get married? Let me see. You got to pray about that, man. You got to pray about that. Because some guy comes in and goes, "Hey, baby. I go to church. I think you're cute. I think you're hot." It's like, great, I am hot. Leave me alone. I'm praying. Don't go jumping into something. Be led by the Holy Spirit. I saw Patsy a year before she saw me at church. And I looked for her every time I came to church. Like, there's Patsy. She didn't even know I was looking at her. I was discreet. Then I met her and I go, "Oh, nice to meet you. Patsy? Oh, yeah, Patsy, I'm Jeff. Nice to meet you." And then, you know, you pray, you trust God, and He leads you by His Spirit. He leads you by His Spirit. Don't override that voice. We all know when we yield to our flesh. We all know that. But God also wants us to know when we're just, that's just not God's best to do that. And to just follow the witness in your spirit. He's faithful who began the work. He'll bring it to completion. Listen, if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, you need to give your heart to Jesus by surrendering and receiving Him. If you got mixed up in some cultic thing, pull out of it and get in basic biblical Christianity. Get in good, simple, wholesome faith. You don't need to get off on tangents. Get in the truth. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's a second blessing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just like you receive Jesus as your Lord, you're filled with the Spirit of God and the power of God. Every believer has the Spirit of God, but when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it brings you into a transformed situation of greater, how do I word it? Greater strength, greater equipping for the work of this life. It doesn't make you any more heaven bound. It makes you more effective while you're in the earth. Absolutely. There's no question about that. We wouldn't be able to do anything we're doing without the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to pray for you because just like that guitar that was all twangy out of tune, when you played it, it just didn't sound good. I want to pray that the tuner of the Holy Spirit, His voice, into your spirit is going to become more refined to you. I'm praying that you're going to get more sensitive to the fact that you are a spirit and that you could hear from the Holy Spirit. I'm not praying that you're going to get zany and go walking around, "A voice came to me and threw my pillow last night and told me you were supposed to give me $10. Now, none of that stuff. We don't need any of flaky. This is not flaky. This is the absolute opposite of flaky. This makes you supernaturally normal. I see people getting all mystical and weird. That's something else. When you're led by the Spirit of God, man, He brings you into accuracy. We need God's Spirit to know what to do next, to know what to do with situations. What do you do in some of these situations? The Holy Spirit will bring, He'll bear witness and bring clarity to your spirit. Let's pray before we go. Father, I thank You for Your mighty, mighty sacrificial gift of salvation through Jesus. Lord Jesus, we look to You and thank You for Your death on the cross. At Your prime, at 33 years old, You took our sin, and in fact, the sin of the whole world. You didn't just die for the people of Israel, You died for every person throughout the earth, throughout the nations, throughout the ages. And there's enough forgiveness for each one of us to have salvation. But it's a gift that must be received, and God, I pray for a tremendous, real repentance and life change in people's hearts tonight. And God, if there are people here in this room that aren't confident about salvation, if they've not given their life to Jesus, or if they're not sure about their position with You, and they want You to be Lord of their lives, they want to turn from their sin, and they want to surrender their life to Jesus, I pray right now You give them boldness and courage and an understanding heart to fully surrender and give their life to Jesus and pledge obedience to the Lord. Everybody, let's sharpen our perceptions and let's learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. My sheep know my voice, the voice of a stranger they won't follow. In this hour of a lot of voices, we're going to key in and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Amen?